Previously on History on the Dark Side.
Today's episode, I have the other girl. We started episode one with Katie. Now we have Bobby Joe. Where do you suppose most people ended up who had some kind of physical or mental ailment?
I'm going to assume they either got murdered because our world was kind of crazy back then. Or they were sent to like some sort of big facility where they weren't really taken care of.
And here's the catch-all. You're going to love this one. Feeble-mindedness.
What is that?
What's it sound like?
Maybe just like small-minded or like learning disabilities to do with the brain.
There you go.
That's sad. I have a little brother with learning disabilities.
Live from the Pottawatomi Studios in Idaho Falls, Idaho, I'm your host, Jared Andrus, and welcome to History on the Dark Side. And now, a special word from our sponsors.
Hey, Bubba. What you looking so mad over there for? I'll fix it to tell you. You see that little blinking light on that there computer screen? Yeah, so what? Well, way I see it, that little light actually a camera. I think the government watches everything I do. I think they're using that interweb to spy on me.
Man, that sounds plumb crazy. What the heck you drinking over there? Is that some of Miss Ella's lemonade?
No, that ain't no lemonade. My friend JJ out there driving truck, he done found this stuff on the AM radio. It's called Conspiracy. It don't taste no good at all, but it opened up my mind. I can see things clear now.
What? What you talking about? Give me a little taste of it.
Ooh, man, that's a little bit bitter. But wait, I'm feeling something. Yeah, I think that government is spying on you. I see that, they're looking right through that little light right there.
Yeah, that's what I was telling you. You know what else?
I think 9/11 was an inside job.
That's right.
And they done stole that election from Trump.
Conspiracy. Because sometimes, even drinking the Kool-Aid ain't enough. And now back to the dark side.
And the first person makes whatever their determination is, and they hand it to the next person.
Oh, and they see the first person's determination?
Yes, they do.
That's just peer pressure.
That's exactly what it is.
And it's even more peer pressure if they only get double checked when they're like, oh, no, this person's fine.
Right.
Shouldn't they get double checked either way?
Well, I mean, yes. Yes, that would be a fair thing. This isn't that, though, right? And so if you're that third person and it's check mark, what are the odds you're going to say, no? These two experts, and they're, you know, this medical doctor and this psychiatrist, whatever, they're all pros.
Yeah.
These two experts already said yes. What sort of gumption do you have to say no for someone you've probably never met? The patient you've never even seen, probably. You've just got this paper in front of you.
You should see patients before something that serious.
So there's some breakdowns in kind of medical ethics.
Yeah.
But it's important to the party to have this system in place. Why?
Huh. Well,
I mean, the party definitely wants to sterilize these people for their own reasons.
Because what I know about Germany, which is not a lot, because I didn't really pay attention to the history class, honestly.
Well, that's all right. We're making up ground right
but
now.
But like, what I know about Germany is they wanted this perfect world where they designed who was in it. And so my mind is like, if they see one abnormal problem, something they find is a problem, they're going to be like, no, we need to get rid of them. So that's why they want the sterilization to happen, because then they can't reproduce any more of these problems. That's what they call them. And so that's where my mind's going, like, oh, they want to get rid of this as fast as they can.
Right.
Because, like...
Right. Well, if you think of that three generations to perfection, right? It only works if we really knuckle down.
Yeah.
Because if this first generation, it's like, so we're going through COVID right now, right? If just like, you know, 10 out of 100 people get the vaccine, then the point of vaccination is not great.
Yeah.
I mean, those 10 probably get some benefit, and some of those people maybe never were going to get it anyway. Mm-hmm. But you're never going to reach that herd immunity to see the bigger picture. Yeah. So we can apply that same logic backwards to kind of what they're thinking then. Hey, we've got to really crack down, because if we accidentally sterilize somebody who's okay, we haven't hurt the future in the same way as if we don't, and somebody with these problems sneaks through the cracks.
And like, people can also hide their problems. They can be like, they don't exist. And so they're like, honestly, if that's the case, I'm like, sterilize all of Germany. But then they're like, we can't get our perfect population if we do that. So it's like, what are you going to do if someone is like, I'm just going to hide all my problems because I want children?
Right.
So.
Right. So we've got this going on.
Yeah.
Okay. It's interesting also to me that some of these people that are getting sterilized are like early teenagers, preteens.
Oh, what?
So you might be 11 years old and you might get picked up from your little house out in the village, run into town, get an operation. They don't even really tell you what it is. And then they, you know, convalesce you till you're okay and send you back home.
And then when you get older, you're like,
exactly.
You're like, why can't I have kids?
Exactly. This is part of it. And the testimonies of people who suffered this is that that's one of those things. Hey, if this happened when I was too young to know what was going on, and then later on in life, I'm trying to get married or I'm trying to have a family and I can't. And that's just devastating.
Yeah.
Like, by then, the Nazis have run their course. The war is over. You're trying to regroup and heal as a community, as a country. And then, bam, guess what? We left you a little present.
When you were 11.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a...
Well, and, like, you can have problems when you're 11 and outgrow them by the time you're, like, 16.
Yeah. Yes. But you never get that opportunity
if
you make it on this list. Now, it's relatively easy to deal with this because there's some parents who are like volunteering their kids.
Huh?
They know their kid's kind of screwed up or their kid's struggling. So some volunteer for that. There's some who volunteer because they share this vision of, well, the future Germany. They're living collectively. Germany's in the horrible economic state after World War I. So it's bad, and if you're having to spend a lot of money on these social programs, that's hard. And some of them are looking at it in purely those terms, even though it's a familial situation.
That's, okay, so you're a parent, so I have to ask, would you volunteer your children for this?
No, I would not. I would not. And it's hard to imagine because the time's different.
Yeah.
Like in our world today, I see so much medical advancement that happens so quick.
Mm-hmm.
That, man, your kid could have anything wrong with them. And they might figure out how to fix that. You get some nanobots up in there.
Yeah.
Right? We're on it. I don't think that was a real legitimate thought process to the Germans at the time. But again, they're not thinking, well, I just need to get through the next 10 or 12 years and then maybe there's a cure or a help. They're thinking three generations down the road, where are we collectively? So it's a weird world to wrap your head around. I think it's hard for us as Americans.
Mm-hmm.
If for no other reason, then we don't, I mean, the only people in America who feel like there's an ideal American are like neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
They're the only ones who think, I mean, Americans come from everywhere.
Yeah, we're such a diverse population.
We're this huge melting pot. We can't, you know, go, oh, well, back in the 1200s. Well, back in the 1200s, no one was in America except natives. You can have some claim there, but
yeah.
Nobody with no white people in them
can say anything about that. Native Americans are the only people who were on America. Everyone else came from somewhere. Like, I'm from Germany, Sweden, and, like, a Indian tribe somewhere. So I come from, like, so many places, and so does, like, everyone in America.
But you have German culture that can trace its roots back thousands of years there. So that's a little different than we can do. And I guess that's one of the reasons they were able to look so far ahead, is because they were able to look at this great deal of history behind them.
Yeah.
But we're grabbing kids off the street almost. I mean, not exactly.
Yeah.
And parents are often not that mad at it. And I think a big reason why is the science, right? It's not the Nazi party. It's not the politician coming to your door and saying, hey, we need your kid. We're going to make it so you can't be a grandma. That's not what's happening. It's a doctor, and it's probably a sheet with three doctors signed off saying, hey, the best treatment for your kid is going to be this sterilization.
That doesn't treat the problem. It just prevents it from continuing.
Correct. Correct. But it has that authority behind it.
Yeah.
Not politically. I mean, the Nazis could have been voted out the next election. They weren't. And too bad for history.
Yeah.
But medicine, you know, science, they're right there saying, hey, this is what's best based on our state-of-the-art learning. And there is a big reverence for scientific tradition in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So that carried a lot of weight. And a lot of people went along.
Yeah.
This didn't always happen with notification. Okay, if you're going to grab somebody's 11-year-old kid, you're probably going to have to tell them something.
Yeah.
But a big majority of people are already in asylums, for lack of a better term. They're in some kind of facility. They're there for one of these things. And they would get checked off, have the operation become sterilized, go right back to the asylum.
But if
nobody knows.
If they're in the asylum, it's not like they're going to have kids there. So what's the point?
So, yeah, because it wasn't super common for someone inside to get outside. You did, just like you do now, right? Like, if you have a place where people are, sometimes some of those people end up impregnated because bad things happen.
Yeah.
That was the same back then. And rather, I don't know, that's pretty grotesque that the thought process, well, we can prevent that by sterilizing people, not maybe we should stop the staff from raping people.
Yeah.
Like, that might be another
for
way to
real.
Go about it. And, you know, I wonder, this is not part of German tradition, but if you know everybody in a given institution is sterilized and you're a predator, it's open season.
Yeah.
You're not going to get caught. Nobody's going to get pregnant. It's not like they got surveillance in the way they do now. So that's pretty gross.
Well, in like asylums, they're like, oh, they're all crazy. So let's say like one of the people who got raped came forward and was like, hey, this happened.
Well, sure, they're crazy.
They're going to be like, they're crazy. They're making it up.
Right. So it kind of makes that already structurally.
We don't have these problems. We need them
getting after it because we need more people in Germany.
So they're sterilizing a good majority of the population, and then the rest of the population, they're like, come on, you need to have
so
like 8 kids.
Exactly. Big and it's not a huge segment of the population they're sterilizing.
Yeah.
But over the course of
more
the
babies.
Time of the program, we're
talking
about the people who aren't crazy people.
That's a lot.
And these are not people from other countries. Like, when they start killing Jews, they're importing them, right?
Yeah.
These are basically 400,000 German citizens that are never going to have a kid. And some of them might not have anyway. But, man, you got to think a lot of them would have, especially these ones that are sterilizing at 12 years old.
Yeah.
How do you know, right?
Because at 12, a lot of people aren't, like, thinking about that.
Right.
They're just like, oh, yeah, I kind of want a future, but not really planning it.
Right.
It's as you get older that you're like, oh, where do I want to go to college? Do I ever want to have kids? And
so you're basing your society on, we need to stop the reproduction of things we don't want. And we really need to increase the reproduction of the things we do want. And that's because if you're going to be a powerful nation, you need a population.
Yeah.
I can't dominate the world, let alone Europe, if I'm a little tiny country.
Yeah.
And Germany wasn't tiny, but I mean, Russia is huge. And Germany's not thinking about France or Belgium or Italy or Spain. They're thinking about Europe. So they're comparatively small against that whole block of nations.
Yeah.
And so they really want to get that population going. Plus, these are going to be the smartest, the brightest, the healthiest, while other countries are stuck with their cripples and with their deaf people and with their crazies. Germany's not going to have any, so that's going to be easier to dominate.
Well, that's the thing, because even if you get, like, all these perfect children, they could still have accidents and develop those problems.
Right.
So, like, you can get into a car wreck and become deaf.
Right.
Or you can, like, I don't know, something happens to your eyes and become blind. And so they really can't define saying they're going to just have this healthy population because accidents still happen.
Right. Right. But we're trying to build a population.
Yeah.
Which means, and we want it done in a certain way. So we're the Nazis are very family friendly in that regard, right? Hey, pro family.
Yeah.
Let's go. We want 32 of those little toe-headed, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Aryan-blooded. Let's get it. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So if you're going to promote that kind of big family, what are you going to have to discourage? What stands in the way? Okay, the crazy people we've dealt with. What stands in the way of people having these big families?
Age. Because you can't, like, women, their clock is
Oh, well, if they're 50, like... we're not, I know you can't have any more yeah. kids. So that's
like,
a given.
There's also diseases out there that cause people not to have kids.
Okay, and this is a big one.
Yeah.
So syphilis causes sterilization if you let it go untreated long enough.
Yeah.
So there's a huge anti-syphilis campaign because, man, we're sterilizing the wrong people. Although they got syphilis somehow, probably not from being the most upstanding citizens, but whatever. We're trying to stamp that out.
Yeah.
We're also trying to stamp out things like abortion.
Oh.
You can't have a big family if you're out there aborting babies before they're born.
And like birth control and contraception.
And so that's an easy sell because Germany is predominantly Catholic and Lutheran. I mean, Martin Luther's German.
Yeah.
So, and both of those are very kind of anti-abortion societies. So that plays right in to some societal norms, some religious norms. That's an easy sell.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we don't want to have these things in the way. Let's just have the big families. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
The other thing that takes a big hit, which also falls into this kind of religious societal belief, is you do not want to be a homosexual. Because you're not having kids if you're homosexual.
You're
so that means you're not helping the end result there. And later on, you know, there'll be homosexuals that end up in the camps and end up getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, the big sin with homosexuality is that, well, you can't produce offspring.
Yeah.
So it's very much frowned upon. And as we've got things going through the legal system to have these forced sterilizations, there's laws going up at the same time to make abortion less and less possible for people and to make more strictly enforcing anti-homosexuality laws so that we can just focus on this making our little Aryan baby society.
Yeah.
So there you go. It's a perfect world.
But also, if you're like in a financial spot, you can't like support like 8 kids.
Right. But
so how are they helping with that?
Right. So, but what's the trade-off? You have these healthy kids that are going to be a productive member of society, and they need some help to feed and clothe and school them. But we've got all these kids that we were going to have that weren't going to be that because they had these diseases or whatever. We're taking them off the books. If you look at this just financially, take all moral humanity out of it. We're taking away money from these people who weren't really going to be that helpful and giving it to these that we think will be.
Oh.
If it's just a ledger book, and it's not, these are people, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You're just we'll just move this pile over to here. Now, we're still spending, we're not spending more.
Yeah.
We're just spending it on people where we're going to get a return on investment. That would be the financial terms. We're going to get a return on investment here, whereas it was dead money over there.
Yeah, okay. That makes more sense. I was just, you know, thinking, dang, if you were in a financial crisis, how are you going to have this, a lot of kids?
Now, where this gets uglier to me is this kind of thinking about the human transaction and financial terms, this starts showing up in schools. If I need to teach you basic arithmetic, or if I need to teach you multiplication, mm-hmm. I can teach you with examples like this. Hey, Joe's Bob lives in this, well, it probably wouldn't be Joe Bob. What's a good German name? Klaus lives in this asylum, doesn't produce any money, and it cost us 10,000 Reichsmarks a year to provide for him. If we didn't have to pay for that, how many school books could we buy at 5 Reichsmarks a piece?
Oh my goodness.
So what's the implication if you're teaching little children that kind of a word problem? And this is where the pervasiveness of Nazi ideology was, I mean, it was top shelf. They went bigger and deeper and further than anybody. Because we're going to start in preschool or kindergarten. I guess they're German. We'll go with kindergarten, yes. So in kindergarten, we're going to start teaching them math about moral trade-offs. We're going to teach them
25 when it took a wheelbarrow full of money to buy
English
lessons.
Yeah, you had freedom.
About eugenics.
Yeah. Like you're your own person. You can make your choices, but you can't feed your family. Well, you're going to be
your country's a laughingstock.
State.
And in the rest of Europe
to have a certain... thinks you're a joke, it's going to be supported
that's
by the
part
church.
Of his plan.
Not directly, but, you know, hey, anti-abortion, anti-homosexual. That fits right in with what the church is teaching.
Holy.
And
good for it.
Also, this idea of we're going to sacrifice right now for some greater benefit later.
The next thing.
Does that happen in Christianity?
I want to talk to you about this to kind of bridge this gap.
So. I'm going to deny myself this now.
So
what's the next
this
reward
step.
Or this reward in heaven?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's totally Christian thing.
To do so.
Yeah.
And now we just change the variables and make it.
And we've stopped
the Third
people.
Reich, the German future.
You messed up from having
instead
more
of
more
God in heaven, it's
what's
the people,
the
Volk, and the future.
I would think.
And it fits.
These people who
it really fits
that
mold. Well, it's a subtle change, but it makes a huge difference in how you're going to
They're still like out and about in the community.
Okay.
So if they have siblings who
so
were messed up
Hitler
and could produce, they would
actually believe
the
in this thousand-year thing. He knows he's not going to be there for 1,000 years. I think one of the things that
the bigger issue is the people that
is most sterilized, and they're in those institutions.
About when people talk about the Nazis.
There's one, they blame every goofy idea on Hitler. Now so he was the one guy who could come up with all this
still
stuff.
Gotta pay
for he grew up in all this stuff.
Yeah.
He just picked and chose
you
from
do.
A smorgasbord of bad and science and bad ideas and bad philosophies. And
it
was a really good spokesman
in the medical community.
He's
I mean,
just
I
the guy
I can
who can wrap my head around everything.
But
also... he
no,
was not
all,
thinking
right?
solely
of
I'm a
himself.
Doctor, I'm a nurse.
You know,
he's not just a narcissist.
Hard
he might as
well have been.
Figure out I'm
like,
he does care an awful lot about him.
We are in a bad
but
spot.
But he honestly is trying to make
maybe this
change
is the best
thing
for them
that will
the
affect the next
100,
the next 1,000 years. He ain't going to be there.
But what's going to come next is that
the
when you're teaching a kindergarten,
already been sterilized or maybe not,
about these philosophies,
they're a bill. That's not because you want them to vote for you in 20 years, right? You're looking, man,
I'm
the same medical bureaucracy that decided who's
but
going
if
to
I want
be able
this
to have
belief
kids,
system to
that
carry forward,
is just a
if I really want
for how we're
going to
make Germany
the
best
community,
I need
look
to be in
to
charge,
be
the authority, and who lives and dies.
I think people miss
and again,
that.
We're not talking about people outside of Germany.
Wasn't talking about a
we're still
thousand year reign.
Our own borders. In any kind of personal term.
And we're going to cross
he
that
talk
step,
about lighting this fire, start
sterilizing
set
people
the
groundwork.
And he honestly
and
thought it would carry forward
to get rid of some of these people who are
and be this ever-moving, growing movement that would just become what Germany was.
A lot of those.
So he's a true believer.
Not
just
experimentation
just that happens
well, that,
to make
that
efficient.
That's kind of how the U.S. was. Is we someone
is what's going to lead directly to the gas
built a foundation for how they wanted the U.S. to be. And
the lessons learned all of our lives in Germany on their own, right. Older people, disabled people, right. Crazy
so
people.
I agree with that. Yeah. To the
and
point.
Jews who live within Germany.
Thankfully,
and all of those undesirable.
Some of those guys were teaching things about,
yeah.
You know, freedom and independence. Now, some of those guys are also inadvertently teaching lessons about slavery and some racial inequality. So that's
unfortunate.
Well, if
you're going to make a change, where are you going to start at?
But the lessons they try to teach and they actually...
If I want
to
change my world,
we're more about
I'm probably
going to
start with myself.
Things we generally think of. I'm going to
start with my family.
If you're German,
get the block
I guess you would sacrifice
the city
freedom
and
independence because you had that. And
Germany wanted to purify. They started with themselves. And built that the way they did.
And thought all the other countries would follow suit.
They didn't need the other countries to follow because they provide all the tools for them. But they do think when we go to France and start collecting their Jews, we're doing them a favor. I mean, yeah, France is still going to, you know, we're going to dominate them. But, you know, it's not like we hate them. They're just not cool as us.
Yeah.
But they're going to thank us for removing their Jews, for removing their cripples, for removing their whatever.
Yeah.
They're really doing the world a favor in the way they see it. And it's going to be hard for the German psyche after the war. You can't just say everything was the Nazis, the Nazis, the Nazis, because it began so much more organically. The Nazis were just kind of a torchbearer for a lot of these ideas. You know, it was all hypothetical.
Yeah.
We did all these hypos, and they just said, oh, let's try it and see what really happens. And the rest, as they say, is history. So, final thoughts or questions? What do you got, Bobby Joe?
Oh, sterilization, that topic is just such a controversial one, too, because some people actually believe in it, and other people are like, this is crazy. And honestly, I'm one of those people who think it's crazy. Because if someone has issues, it should just be treated, not something that you put against their own will. Especially if they have it as a kid, because they can always just grab it. And also, some people have, like, mental health issues due to what they grew up in their environment and not anything genetic.
Right.
And I think that's just wild. And, like, I can also see why Germany did it. Like, I can see their mindset and their way of thinking. But I just can't believe it. It's just, it blows my mind.
Some of the experiments they're doing in Auschwitz, right up to the end, The medical experiments they're doing are sterilization experiments.
Yikes.
They're trying to figure out how to perfect that. They're using radiation, and it just leaves a grotesque mess. It doesn't work well. They're trying different surgical practices, inserting different chemicals into people and trying to find a cheaper, faster way to sterilize people. So even when we're clear down at the point where we're literally putting people in ovens, sterilization's still front and center of what they're doing and trying on people because they haven't figured out how to do it efficient enough yet. So it's there at the beginning and it'll still be there at the very end. So next time we meet, it'll probably be with Duke. And we'll talk about Action T4, when we're going to actually start euthanizing different groups of German citizens. And again, these won't be killings of outside people. They'll be German citizens. And as such, the persecution of the Jews will likewise be going up and up and up through this whole time. They've been getting persecuted as soon as the Nazis came to power. There was already a lot of segment of society who blamed them for different things. But that kind of moves in parallel. And once we've perfected these ideas of sterilization, which we never got to, and we've perfected this idea of euthanasia, you know where that's going to lead.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for this time on History from the Dark Side. Thank you for listening to Season 2 of History on the Dark Side. If you're enjoying this season, I highly recommend the following book, The Nazi Doctors by Robert J. Lifton. Not only is it valuable source material, but this is the definitive book on this subject matter.
As far as documentaries go, I highly recommend Auschwitz, The Nazis and the Final Solution by the BBC. I don't think there's a better documentary about the Final Solution. I'd like to recommend iCivics. Now, this doesn't have much to do with the Nazis, but if you are a history teacher like myself, or you have a history class, or you're just interested in anything to do with American government or American history, there's a lot of materials at iCivics.com that you can use. And I also want to recommend the Anchor app. If you need to distribute or make a podcast, they make it pretty simple. Special thanks to a lot of people who helped this show happen. I'd like to thank my cohorts at Eagle Rock Middle School, Jeff and Brett. They listen to me go on and on about what I'm trying to do and help kind of guide my thoughts. I give a lot of thanks to my family. Not only do I have the kids that come up and guest host, they also do some work in the background as far as some of the engineering and helping out with the parody commercials. I especially want to thank my wife, Shayla. The hours I spend behind the microphone are hours I could be with her, and she knows that this means enough to me to be willing to make that sacrifice. So I'm very grateful for that. I suppose if you're listening to this now, you already know how to find the program, but feel free to recommend it to any of your friends that might like it as well. It's available on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes. So just about anywhere you can find a podcast, you should be able to find The Dark Side. I have recently started a YouTube channel for History on the Dark Side. So if it's easier for you to watch or to listen to the audio on YouTube, you can find me there. And currently under construction, I have a website, historyonthedarkside.com. So hopefully sometime before the end of season two, that is up and running. Thank you once again. I'm so grateful for anybody who takes the time to listen to this. And I will see you next time on The Dark Side.